Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's July the 17th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, farm bill markup is underway in Washington, D.C., and the House Ag Committee is considering a pair of twin bills, one that simply extends the 2002 legislation and another that extends and adds programs. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. It's a Tuesday during the growing season, and that means the statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation will update crop conditions in their regions. You can name them, can't you? In order of total production, they are Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Pines Plus Waterscapes and Nature's Way Incorporated, now carrying neem oil, a naturally organic product with many uses around the home. Information on neem oil is at Pines Plus Waterscapes, Champaign, 355-2266, or Nature's Way Incorporated in Effingham, 800-369-1247.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit, September contract down a half cent at 601 and a quarter. December at 617 and a quarter for the soft red, down three quarters for the day. September corn futures, 322 and a half, 12 and a quarter lower. December at 336 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. And the March contract at 351 and a quarter, 10 and a half cents lower. December contract at 385 and three quarters. It finished down five and three quarters for the day. August soybean futures at 833 and three quarters, down 38. September's at 843 and a quarter, down 38. November's at 860 and a half, down 38 and a quarter. November 08 at 885, down 20 and a quarter. Bean meal futures, nearby August contract at 222.20, down 13.50 for the day. And August bean oil at 36.92, down 31 on the afternoon. From the outside markets, crude oil trading at $74.06 a barrel, down just about 9 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 14,009 is up right at 58 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, afternoon, Todd.
This is one of those days, second day in a row, you have to remember that you can make money on both sides of the market, but generally farmers are holders of the crop, and they don't make money when things are on the way down.
9 out of 10 don't, Todd. You know, it was a black day as far as price discovery went for 9 out of 10 people that we know and talk to. You know, we've talked about this. It was a weather market, and by golly, all plus some of the weather premiums went out with the rain that we witnessed overnight through the day, and then, of course, the forecast for rain coming into Iowa that had been left dry, that was going to be hot and dry next week, and was sort of giving us the hang-on hopes. And, boy, when that hit the floor, it fell apart in a hurry and didn't get much of a chance to get hold of many of our customers before that thing. It decimated itself for the day.
Was there any indication that we'll hit the bottom of this move fairly shortly? I can't imagine that, certainly in the beans, that it could move a lot lower. Although you never know what might happen in the marketplace.
I believe that is the right answer. We never know for sure. I mean, we are going down, and it looks like that we're hearing talks of trying to fill the gap at 43 in the November beans. We're hearing, you know, the first level of support was about right where we closed, was the 36 in the these corn. But there's some that, you know, it's 22 before the next level of support through this. So, you know, as we looked at the rains that come across today, and if Iowa were able to get them, pollination will be ending up quite well, and we've got, you know, some really renewed moisture to get us next couple, you know, if we do have a hot spell next week, to get through it. And with the 92 million acres plus, it does put a lot of corn on to be come in this fall with things that way. So, you know, it there is a big number there. I believe there was one chart point that pointed to 280 today in the Dease corn, but we did see some commercial buying come in 335 and below that way. One of the bad things we'd looked at, they said in the beans, once we had 877 stops and then every few cents down we run into more. There was a 500 lot of November beans that it was a stop in there, Todd, and it took the market down 14 cents before the last of those 500 contracts were filled when we hit the low when it was going against things. So the funds are in there. The funds are liquidating. They have big numbers, and they can overdo the market when they probably will. I mean, I won't say they probably will. I'm going to say they're going to.
Well, overdue is an interesting question on this one because it's often said that beans don't trade at $8 very long. They trade at 7 or 9. What do you think? Which way are we going to go?
You know, with I think we're going to take a very close look. Like I was talking with Dave this morning, we're going to take a very close look at the amount of moisture that accumulates over the next 48 hours and how much falls west of Mississippi and then the extended forecast. But, you know, we thought this morning it was going to be the run back to the 9, which we did after the morning show, rather than down to the 7. But, you know, like I say, we're under some extreme pressure here now of liquidation phase. You know, the feeling was that they would probably try to fill that gap tonight or tomorrow on the floor when we talked to them just after the close. You know, our guys on the floor were saying, don't buy the beans tonight. So we would be reluctant buyers if anybody wanted to. That way we'd, you know, caution, I guess, heavily that way. But we have seen just about a 90-cent break here in this bean market here in just 2 days. So.
Were they the same on the corn? Were they not buyers of corn either?
You know, I think they just want to be cautious and see how the rains develop in Iowa. I think that's it. But, you know, you'd have to feel that they're, you know, we did fill the gap in the corn, definitely, Todd, so technically. But, you know, very weak closes in both the corn and the beans today.
Was there any talk at all about how far along this Minnesota crop happens to be? I will hear this a bit later in the program, but you looked at it, and I think they're silking as normally at 17%, and they're 61% silked at this point. They're just so desperately far ahead. I don't know whether that would have taken the market much by surprise, or they just dismissed it altogether, or whether
we sure didn't dwell on the 6% decrease in ratings, did we?
No, we didn't. Well, I was thinking that they were so far ahead that that would be a sign that Minnesota could deliver on the number of bushels that they were being assigned by USDA more than anything else.
I know, you know, like I say, and I think as we look and talk about that, that is one of the things that I think that this corn crop is farther ahead. We're probably, as you say, we're a couple weeks ahead in Minnesota as far as the crop maturity goes. And that does put a different angle to when the heat comes, when it did, and how it pollinated and what's looking at that way. So, you know, if we're that far along, why, it is a different picture to look at.
All right. We'll let you go for the day. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Here's a quick look at the forecast from our own Mike Sola. He says a flash flood watch is in effect for northwestern Illinois through Wednesday morning, and a flood watch is in effect for northeastern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana through late tonight. Tonight in west central Illinois and in the south will be partly cloudy, elsewhere mostly cloudy, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Lows to say this evening from 65 in northeastern Indiana to 74 in west central Illinois. Tomorrow in northeastern Illinois and northern and central Indiana, mostly cloudy, some occasional showers and thunderstorms, partly to mostly sunny everywhere else with a shower and a thunderstorm. Highs around 83.
In agricultural news, the Senate Agricultural Appropriations Subcommittee marks up its FY08 spending bill today. Full committee action is expected on Thursday. On the House side, the full Agricultural Appropriations Committee will mark up its version of the bill on Wednesday. The House version contains $987 million more than requested by President Bush to fund public health, nutrition, energy, conservation, and agricultural research. Sources believe that the annual job of allocating money for USDA will be completed before the congressional August recess. Meanwhile, today the House Agriculture Committee is considering a dual-track farm bill. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns continued yesterday taking lawmakers to the woodshed.
The chairman's mark also misses an opportunity to address some defects in the current safety net for farmers that we heard about when we did the Farm Bill forums. The current Farm Bill does tend to pay farmers the most when they need it the least, but when they need it the most, it's not there. There's nothing in the chairman's mark that would address overpayments during flush years and underpayments during times of need.
The draft covers 5 years, and savings would offset new expenditures. The draft would make no changes from the 2002 commodity title. Kansas Congressman Jerry Morin says he expects that will change. Don't expect a straight extension.
Everyone in Washington talks about the higher commodity prices and therefore farmers don't need any assistance from the federal government, but they don't take into account increasing fuel, fertilizer, natural gas costs. The cost structure has increased dramatically since the 2002 Farm Bill, and if the purpose of a Farm Bill is to provide a safety net, that safety net needs to be enhanced based upon today's cost.
The second track under debate in the House Agriculture Committee contains additional programs where there are no revenue offsets. The Wall Street Journal's Asian version is reporting that food safety and quality standards are increasingly replacing tariffs and quotas as focal points for international trade disputes. In what appears to be a tit-for-tat move, China last week suspended imports from several U.S. meat processors, including Tyson and Cargill. Nick Giordano is International Trade Counsel for the National Pork Producers Council.
We're very concerned here that they're playing fast and loose. I mean, the overall allegation is that U.S. pork is not safe, and we find the timing here, given the whole host of food safety issues associated with Chinese products, to be troubling.
American Meat Institute President J. Patrick Boyle says rejected beef passed USDA inspections. The Wall Street Journal Asian version reports the Chinese government is determined to show it has food safety issues under control after the U.S. discovered contamination issues on Chinese exported animal feed and pet food. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And if I haven't said it lately, thank you. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the newsletter and visiting our website and downloading all those MP3 files and podcasts. Dave Dickey and I really do appreciate it. Well, up next, USDA has released the July 16 version of the Weekly Crop Progress Report. It shows 56% of the corn crop around the nation is silking. That's way ahead of last year and 20 points better than the rolling five-year average. Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, and Indiana are pretty close to that five-year leap of 20 points. But it is Minnesota that is head, nose, and all 4 feet in front of the pack, at least compared to their normal. 61% of the Minnesota corn crop is silking this year. At this time, 17% is the five-year average. 6% of the nation's corn crop has reached the dough stage. It is still in better condition than last year's crop, but fading from last week, down 6% in the top two categories. Those are good and excellent. Soybeans declined there too, but by half as much. They're down 3% nationwide in the good to excellent categories. 60% of the bean crop has bloomed. That's compared to the five-year average of 48.
and 14% of the bean crop has set pods, and that figure's right on track with last year, but it's a bit ahead of the five-year average. Now, here are the statisticians with the updates from their states.
This is Joe Brusacki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending July 15, 2007. As Iowa's summer continues, crops are showing signs of stress. Corn leaves are curling from lack of moisture. A few areas of the state received significant rainfall recently. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 3 degrees below normal. Statewide precipitation was 0.22 inches, or one-fifth of the weekly normal of 1.1 inches. Conditions are suitable for alfalfa harvest and spraying of herbicides and fungicides. There were 6.6 days suitable for field work compared to 5.7 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 70% very short or short, 30% adequate, and 0% surplus across the state of Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 44% very short or short, 56% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn condition is rated 10% very poor or poor, 27% fair, and 63% good or excellent. Corn tassel at 70% is 6 percentage points ahead of last year's 64% and 5 days ahead of the 5-year average of 45%. Corn silked at 47% is 1 day ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition is rated at 8% very poor or poor, 27% fair, and 65% good or excellent. Soybeans blooming are at 69%, slightly ahead of last year's 67% and the 5-year average of 62%. 17% of the soybeans are setting pods, 2% ahead of last year. All hay condition is 19% very poor or poor, 39% fair, and 42% good or excellent. 58% of the second cutting of alfalfa hay is complete, behind last year's 77% and the 5-year average of 60%. Pasture condition rated 23% very poor or poor, 70% fair, and 37% good or excellent. Pastures are having a hard time keeping up with grazing due to the lack of moisture. This has been Joe Prusacki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office in Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending July 15, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 15th. Seasonal weather last week allowed crops across the state to maintain their good to excellent condition ratings. Average temperatures were cooler than normal statewide, while rainfall totals also came in below normal across most of the state, with the exception being northern Illinois, where precipitation totals were slightly above average. Lack of precipitation is beginning to cause concern in certain areas with a forecast of above normal temperatures in the coming week. Corn pollination has been in full swing, and farmers are trying to combat gray leaf spot with aerial fungicides, while pesticides are being applied to control silk clippings from Japanese and corn rootworm beetles. Statewide, topsoil moisture was drying down with an average rating of 7% very short, 33% short, 58% adequate, and 2% surplus. This was a decline of 14 percentage points in the combined adequate and surplus categories. The corn crop continues to grow at a record pace, with 88% of the crop being reported as silked, compared to 73% 1 year ago and 60% for the 5-year average. 10% has entered the dough stage, which compares to 8% 1 year ago and 7% for the 5-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop condition held steady for another week and was rated mostly good to excellent. Soybean blooming was reported at 71%, which compares to 60% 1 year ago and 53% for the 5-year average. 15% of the plants were setting pods, compared to 10% reported last year and for the 5-year averages. Overall, the state's soybean condition was rated mostly good to excellent. Soft red winter wheat harvest was virtually complete at 99%, slightly ahead of last year's 96% and 95% normally. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Pond reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 15, 2007. Corn conditions rated 74% good or excellent, well above last year's 61% rating. Irrigated fields rated 85% good or excellent, while dryland fields rated 61, both above year-ago levels. Soybean conditions rated 67% good or excellent, well above last year's 53% condition. Wheat conditions rated 59% good or excellent. Wheat harvested was 68%, 8 days behind last year, but only 1 day behind average. Alfalfa conditions rated 59% good or excellent, well above last year's 28%. Oat conditions rated 67% good or excellent, well above last year's 19%. Sorghum conditions rated 82% good or excellent, well above last year's 53%. Pasture and range conditions rated 61% good or excellent, well above last year's 10%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending July 15, 2007. Slightly cooler temperatures graced Minnesota, but showers missed most of the state this past week. Precipitation across most of the state was measured in tenths of inches or less. While topsoil moisture supplies in the northwest and southeast corners of the state remained mostly adequate, 68% of the state's cropland was rated as very short or short, leaving producers wanting rain. Sugar beet conditions improved, however. Pasture conditions declined for the sixth week in a row, with only 22% rated as good or excellent. Small grain crops were ripening rapidly, with some oats being harvested for grain. The average temperature for the week was 60 degrees, 3.8 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 26% very short, 42% short, 30% adequate, and 2% surplus. As of Sunday, July 15th, 61% of the corn acreage was silking, compared to 17% for the five-year average. Soybeans were 65% blooming, compared to 50% for the average. 42% of the spring wheat acreage was ripening, compared to 24% for the average. And 78% of the oats were ripening, compared to 43% for the average. As of Friday, July 13th, 50% of the field corn and 53% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. 66% of the spring wheat was rated in good to excellent condition. Sunflower conditions were rated 68% good or excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending July 15th, 2007. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is a crop weather report for week ending July 15th. Lack of precipitation in recent weeks is causing major concern for farmers around the state. Drought-like conditions exist in several areas, and major crops are being seriously affected. Some areas received scattered showers last week, and cooler temperatures helped, as many cornfields are now in the critical pollination stage of development. Soybeans are holding on, but rain is desperately needed as soils are becoming very dry. Cutting, raking, and baling of hay made good progress. Farmers continue to spray for Japanese beetles and aphids. 66% of the corn acreage has silk compared to 39% for both last year and the five-year average. 3% of the corn acreage has reached the dough stage compared to 2% last year and 3% for the average. Corn condition is rated 43% good to excellent compared with 65% last year at this time. 53% of the soybean acreage is blooming compared with 30% last year and 39% for the five-year average. 6% of the soybean acreage is setting pods compared with 4% last year and 7% for average. Soybean condition is rated 40% good to excellent compared to 61% last year at this time. 97% of the winter wheat acreage is harvested compared with 91% last year and 89% for the average. Second cutting of alfalfa hay is 78% complete compared with 68% last year and 59% for the average. Last week there were 6.4 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 33% very short, 39% short, and 28% adequate. Subsoil moisture was rated 31% very short, 42% short, and 27% adequate. Precipitation averaged from 0 to 1.09 inches. Temperatures averaged 4 degrees below normal and 2 degrees above normal, with a high of 95 and a low of 48. This is Greg Matley reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast, well, that one comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. An end could be in sight for the long drawn out debate at the Illinois Capitol over soaring electric rates. Senator James Claiborne, a key Democratic negotiator on the issue, said today that talks have, quote, pretty much produced an agreement on about $1 billion in relief for customers over 4 years. Lawmakers have been promising for weeks they're on the verge of a deal on rates that soared when a 10-year rate freeze ended in January, but nothing has emerged yet. Claiborne says there are still issues to work through, such as whether customers will get rebate checks for rate increases that they've paid or will get credits on future bills. But he says he doesn't think those will block an agreement. He hopes they can wrap up the deal this week. The University of Illinois is considering hiring a private operator for Willard Airport. The university owns the money-losing airport and has asked for information for potential operators. U of I trustee Bob Victory says it's a very preliminary step as the university looks for ways to get better air service. He says it would help the university attract employees who help the area draw other types of employers. The U of I says Willard lost almost $2 million in the 2006 fiscal year. Companies have until August 2nd to seek in for or send information to the university. The U.S. Department of Transportation is proposing that five southwest Indiana counties switch back to Eastern Time from Central. If the change in Davies, DuBois, Knox, Martin, and Pike counties gets final approval, it would become effective November 4th when daylight saving time ends for the year. Motorists who couldn't register their vehicles over the weekend in Indiana due to computer problems at license branches won't have to pay late fees. The Bureau of Motor Vehicles says customers can come back through Saturday to complete their transactions. He may look like a dummy, but a new addition to Carle Foundation Hospital's training facilities in Urbana is helping improve emergency response. A life-sized simulated human called Simman is connected to a computer that gives him a wide variety of realistic reactions to trainees. Before the $40,000 purchase, training may have involved real humans standing in as fake patients, but educators say trainees can't perform chest compressions or defibrillation on real people, so in a way, they say Simman is actually more like a true patient. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
A couple of downpours in the Champaign County area earlier today. Can we expect more rainfall?
Well, we certainly can, especially through the next 24 to 48 hours. After that, rain chances are going to go down, but we're going to be looking at more rain, some of it quite heavy. And in areas, especially Indiana, that could use it, going to be getting some rain as well. We've already, based on radar estimates, have picked up an inch and a half to almost 3 inches of rain today in northwest Illinois along the Iowa border. Then in around the Champaign area, we've had an inch and a half onwards to 2 inches of rain in a few locations.
And then if you take a look further to the northwest of us and update me on what's been happening in Minnesota, parts of Nebraska where it's been fairly dry.
Well, it has been fairly dry, and they're going to be dry at least for another day and a half, but there's some good news. They're going to be getting some more rain. Thunderstorm chances are going to be going up, especially across Nebraska, some eastern and southeastern areas of South Dakota, and that will get into southwestern areas of Minnesota as well. So the rain that's going south of those areas today will miss them, but later this week and towards the start of the weekend, they're going to see an increase in thunderstorm activity up there.
And then to the east of us, parts of Indiana and Ohio, part of Michigan up in that tri-state area, have been awfully dry. Will they get weather along the way too?
Yeah, the system that's causing the rain and the thunderstorms here is going to be spreading east-southeast into Indiana, some of it getting into Ohio, and then later in the week, areas of Michigan, Wisconsin, will get into some shower and thunderstorm activity. They will likely trend cooler as well, as temperatures are actually going to cool down to more closer to normal values. But behind this rain is going to be a pocket of drier air. So after this rain, over the next couple of days, the chances of moisture will drop as we get into early next week. So we may start to get dry again. So if we don't get rain in your particular area out of this pattern, it's going to be another little bit of a wait.
And then as you take a look around the globe, can you update us on some of the other areas?
Well, in Europe, it's a little bit on the dry side. That's going to include many areas of Russia as well. A bit dry. The only exception would be the southwest and western areas of Europe. Places like the UK and France that are going to be picking up some moisture, but the Ukraine a little bit on the warm and dry side.
All right, we appreciate much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens every Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49. That for our first in-depth look at today's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the web. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.